Welcome, everybody, to the Mets News Podcast. Now, today, the draft expert is coming on the show to talk all things sports, the end of the usual topics, and it's going to be a great show, and we look forward to having him on. The New York Mets had a West Coast trip. It was a failed West Coast trip, if you ask me, but that's besides the point. We'll get into that a little bit, of course, as well. But the draft expert will be on in a few minutes, and when he comes back on, I will restart the interview process, but this should be a great show. But can the Mets actually have a good West Coast trip? Like, I don't personally think the Mets, it's not a West Coast trip. They go to Chicago, and it was a, why do I keep saying Chicago? They go to Houston, excuse me. Houston, my brain's not working today. They go to Houston, and they had Trevor Williams start. And why the hell is he starting? Because the Mets don't have any depth left. And one thing I said about the Mets is they did sign the big free agent, but the one fear I had was going into this season, they had no depth. And if one injury would have happened, they would have been screwed. So they go to Houston. Tyler McGill is out again with, I don't even know what it is. I think it's a shoulder problem. And listen, you expect these injuries to happen during the second year. DeGrom had them. Scherzer had them in his career. But ultimately, the New York Mets are in trouble. Their rotation is god-awful right now, but Scherzer is on his way back. I just wanted to give a little preview of the Mets and my personal opinion, but the draft expert is in the waiting room now. I will let him in, and we will start the interview in a matter of seconds. All right, everybody. He's entered in the room now. You heard the intro. The draft expert's filling in for a guest I had on. The guest I'm having on is coming back on in a couple weeks. He had a family emergency. But how you doing, Coach?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm alive. The running Phillies were in for 2 weeks, and it was a nightmare. I mean, if you talk to anybody in that front office, we were all thinking the same thing Sunday. Let's have a quick game, and it felt like a five-hour game. I was ready for them to leave, and they're coming back. They're coming back. I thought they'd be on the road for like 10 days. No, they'll be back next Tuesday.
Oh, all right, so what, they're going like a week then?
Yeah, they'll be home for a week. But I think the All-Star break for them is in July, so I'm not going to be there as much because we get a couple of days off when the All-Star break comes in. But transitioning to the big league club, the last time you were on, Joe Girardi was the manager. He got fired.
Yes.
The Phillies have gotten hot. They're back in the wild card race. I don't want to say they're back in the division race yet, no. Just because the Mets, the Braves I'm concerned about, not really because Scherzer's coming back, but the Phillies and Mets only have to play each other one more time. So I'm not concerned about the Phillies. But they're in the wild card race. So what's your thoughts?
Well, I don't think Girardi was – I don't think the manager's ever the total reason, but they needed to do something to inject some energy into the club, and you're not going to get rid of, you can't get rid of the players. Now, I'm not a fan of Girardi. He was as boring as they come, but it didn't, you know, it jolted them for a little bit, but now of course they've lost three in a row. I'm still not buying in. I mean, they have some talent. If they can put it together, like they went on a run. The problem with the run is sort of the Mets and sort of the Braves. I mean, Phillies go on, what was it, like a, was it 11-9 game winning streak? But then the Braves went on one bigger than theirs. Yep. That's demoralizing when you win like 9 in a row or whatever it was, 10 in a row, 11 in a row. You think, oh, you're going to catch up a couple games, and you end up not catching up any. But I just want to see meaningful baseball come July, August. That's all I want to see. I want to see them in the race, some meaningful games, because there's nothing worse than putting the Phillies on at night to watch a 4-hour game when they're out of the race.
Yeah, and I kind of thought the Phillies were underachieving. I've said that in Reading when we talked about the Phillies. I said I thought the Phillies were underachieving. And their schedule got easier. They weren't beating really good teams. Right. And they've done all right against the better teams. But who I don't even know. What's that guy's name? Thompson?
Yeah.
Who replaced Girardi?
Thompson.
He looks like he has a little fire and he has the club working a little bit, but your bullpen is just really bad.
It's the same thing every year. I mean, actually, our starting pitchers, I'm pretty happy with. You know, I know last night Wheeler struggled last night a little bit, but Wheeler, Nola, Ranger Suarez, Gibson, they've been pretty good. But as soon as you start putting in, what's his face?
Familia.
Yeah, once you start putting him in, it's over. You know, and their closer has
Knebel.
Yeah, Knebel has he's imploded. they're gonna have to. I mean, I think you can get Knebel back, but I don't know. Maybe Sir Anthony Dominguez has to be the guy now that he's back. I don't know, but yeah, their bullpen's been bad.
Their bullpen got worse when they added Familia. And I said that at the time. He was with the Mets his whole career, minus a month in Oakland when we traded him away. He is terrible. And when the Phillies signed him this offseason, I told my friend Gabe, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, why are the Phillies doing that? Like, the guy has no command of the strike zone.
Yeah, he's horrible. And I was watching last night. Man, boy, the names. Who's the big lefty that they got out of the bullpen?
And right hand.
Alvarez. Here's a guy that can throw 100 miles an hour, filthy stuff, and his ERA is over 7. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me. That you can throw that hard. Of course, he walks a lot of guys. But to have that kind of stuff and still have an ERA over 7 is amazing. And their defense is atrocious.
They're built the wrong way. They need a true center fielder that can hit. I know you guys have Odubel Herrera.
No, don't even bring him up. I hate him. He's my most hated Philly. The dumbest baseball player to ever walk the face of the earth.
Well, I've never heard you say that before. I know you hate him, but you moved in out of the dumbest baseball player to ever walk the earth. What did he do?
Just watch him play. He has no baseball sense whatsoever. Running the base is nothing. He's horrible. Horrible. You know, he has physical tools, but the mental tools are lacking. You know, basically our GM went out and signed a bunch of DHs.
He did.
And now because Harper can't play the field, now you have your right fielder and your left fielder are best suited to DH. Your first baseman, Hoskins, is technically a DH, but you have to play him in the field.
It's just, I don't know what the Phillies are going to do at the deadline. They have to be in competition for that third wild card right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they continue to play, I mean, yeah, they've lost 3 in a row here, but if they can get back in a little bit of a streak here, I know their schedule the second half of the year is easier moving forward. If they can stay in that race come trade deadline, I think they're going to make, because they're already above the luxury tax, so they can just keep going. I think they're going to have to make a deal. They're going to make a deal for some bullpen help. That's what they're going to do. They're going to add a couple pieces there. We'll see what's wrong with Eflin, because Eflin had to get pulled from his last start because of his knee again, the one he had surgery on. So we could need a fifth starter too.
I don't know what you guys have in your prospect tank. I don't.
You should know. You see it.
I do. I wouldn't want to trade Ohapi. He's
your one guy down there. Again, I haven't followed Reading much, but since I went to the game last week, I was looking at some of the things and some of the players and the ages of some of the players, and you really don't see. I didn't really see much there, other than your catcher. That's going to come up and do anything.
I think Jaylen Ortiz has a lot of potential. He's a friend of the show. He came on the show, actually. But the thing I know about him, just speaking to people, he's not a very good defensive player. They have to work with him in the outfield. I think he's learning a new outfield position, actually. But other than that, I don't know who you guys have in Double A. I don't know about the Triple A team.
Triple A, they got I think the guy's last name is it Hall? You know, guy, he's tearing it up with home runs. He might be leading the Triple A in home runs. But other than that, their farm system, they've done a poor job drafting over the years. I forget, I was listening to a radio show where they were talking about Mickey Moniak, and Phillies drafted him number one overall. And they did a playback of, they interviewed the general manager when they drafted him, and he said it was a weak draft, it was slim pickings. And then they named all the guys after him that were drafted that are all all-stars. And here are Mickey Moniak, you know, going up and down from minor leagues to major leagues. And what's his face? Your Mets guy. My God, the names are killing me now. Who's your first baseman?
Alonso? Pete Alonso? Yeah,
he was drafted after him, like in the second round, but it was slim pickings. And we get Mickey Moniak.
I didn't even really watch. I've never watched Mickey Moniak before. Actually, it's fascinating. I know he draws a big crowd when he's down there, which is really good for the Reading Phillies. Is he a center fielder?
Yeah. When he came out of high school, I remember seeing the highlights of him. I looked at him, you know, the high school kid. You know, he hasn't filled out yet. He's not as big and as strong yet. But the thing on him was he was a kind of like a gap-to-gap player, occasional power, but a real sweet swing. But he was a skinny kid, and I'm like, this is the number one overall pick? You know, there was nothing that really stood out that made him, like, to me, the number one pick. But
was he actually the number one overall first pick? Then what year was he drafted? I don't remember the Phillies ever having the number one overall pick before.
Yep, he was the numero uno.
Had to be like 15 or 16.
Yeah, I guess 16. I forget when it was. Whenever Alonso was drafted, that was the year.
No, then it was 16. Well, they were god awful in 15.
Yeah. So
the Mets killed them.
Yeah, so that's who we got.
Well, at least your owner spends money. I'll say John Middleton cares. I will say that.
Oh yeah. He's trying. Their team is interesting to watch because their power numbers, any at bat. And again, like, if they can start clicking a little bit, like, Realmuto is having a terrible year. If he can start getting back a little bit, help out the middle lineup. Hoskins just went through a real hot streak. Carper was on fire before he missed a couple games because he had an infection in his hand.
He is the most disappointing player on the Phillies team right now, JT Realmuto.
Yeah, it's been bad.
He's been declining. I was talking about this with a couple other people. He has been declining so much. It's since he signed the contract. It's crazy. You saw it a little bit last year, and then this year it's just been a total drop.
Yeah, I think he only has like 3 home runs this year. He's hitting, I think, right around like 240. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him come up with a runner on third, less than 2 outs. Can't drive the run in. Yeah, it's been bad.
It's been really bad. It's shocking on how much he's dropped. I mean, defensively he's still doing his thing, but offensively his numbers have been terrible.
Yeah, they're really bad.
And you're stuck with him for 3 more years, right?
Of course. We're just gonna keep getting older and older and older because we have no young guys coming up.
You guys got 2. I mean, I don't know who else you guys have after that, but you guys have 2.
2 what?
Two young guys in the system.
Who?
well, what's Ohapi? He's, I don't know, he has to be young.
I was looking at him. He's young because he was drafted out of high school.
Ortiz is young too for an outfielder prospect. He's not that old.
Yeah, well, I mean, your guys were in their early 20s. I was looking at a lot of your pitchers and stuff, too. Every pitcher that came in to me looked – their stuff looked identical.
The Phillies don't have any bullpen right now. I mean, I watch the end of the games when I get to watch. These guys are, like, in their 30s almost.
Some of them are, yeah. I mean, the day I was there, your starter was I forget who the starter was. He was a pretty tall guy. Fastball was sitting in the low 90s, but he had a nice changeup. He was getting people on the changeup, and then he lost it. Started getting hit. And then every reliever they brought in, it looked the exact same thing. They all threw 90 to 92. It looked straight with a curveball. I mean, everything just looked the same to me.
And they blow a lot of leads late. I know that. I think they were winning that day.
Yeah, they were losing, but then they took the lead, and then the bullpen came in, and it was just a mess after that.
They teach them young down there. They teach them young. So, moving on to the Eagles, they did sign James Bradberry.
Yes, and they just signed Tart, the safety from the 49ers.
So, refresh my audience's memory. How do you feel now about the season? Because they did make more additions.
Well, on paper, it all comes down to their quarterback play. And health, of course. In the NFL, the health. But their offensive line is one of the best in football. Now there are skilled players, which they've lacked for years. Now you have a formidable group of receivers. You have some decent running backs. If Jalen Hurts just steps up a notch from what he did last year, they should be right there in the end. Defensively, I mean, they added a lot of different pieces. I think they're going to be running a multiple defensive system. They're not going to run a true 4-3. They're going to be switching it up. So now that, you know, their secondary, it's a little older. They have some veterans, but they have a couple Pro Bowlers back there. You know, if they stay healthy and Jalen is a little bit better, the Eagles should be in the mix. I mean, 17-game season.
I think
there's no reason why they should not be able to win 10, 11 games this year.
I think on paper they're the best team in the division. I think Dallas is getting older. They lost a couple of their key wide receiver guys. The Giants are 2 to 3 years away. Washington, I think, is a mess. No matter what.
That just franchise from the top down is a mess.
Yeah.
The Giants are still, I think they're not there yet. They have to build a little bit more. Yeah, if Jalen Hurts plays well, you know, Eagles will be there. Definitely be there.
It all comes down to his arm. I don't think he has a big enough arm in the NFL.
I don't think he has a big enough arm either. And from what I saw last year, he doesn't make good, like, anticipatory throws. He has to wait for a guy to get open. He has to be wide open because he just doesn't have the arm to get there. But was he doing that because his receivers, he didn't trust them? Now with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, I mean, get the ball to A.J. Brown anywhere and let him make plays. So things might open up for him. I mean, you look at his number – I saw something where they showed his numbers over the other top quarterbacks in the league in their first – somebody starts – and Jalen Hurts, his numbers are as good as any of them. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, I love his leadership. I love his running ability. Love his demeanor. It's just if he had a better arm, I'd be sold.
I told you, I thought – if he develops an arm, you guys got to steal a quarterback the day he was drafted.
And if – I think they did it right this offseason. Rather than panic and reach for a quarterback in the draft, they sat there and they put pieces around him to see. And if it doesn't work out with Jalen this year, they have draft picks next year where they can go get their quarterback. Because they're other than a few offensive linemen, their offense, most of their players are 25 years or younger. They're young.
Yeah. And
they have the time, they could get another young quarterback to bring in. But I agree, like, let Jalen play this year. Let's see what he's got. And they won 9 games last year with the team they had, which I didn't think was very good.
They should have won 10. They should have won that Giants game that they lost.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah, that one where Jalen Reagor. Uh-huh.
Drop one right in the end zone or on the 1 yard line.
Yep. And now Jalen Reagor at best at best is our number four receiver. He might not even be that. So, yeah, we're definitely better on paper. But health and quarterback play, that's what it all comes down to.
I just don't know how you can trust Dallas. I really don't. It just doesn't make – they're getting older. They lost a lot of key guys at wide receiver this year just for free agency alone.
On paper, they're not as good as they were last year.
The coaching, McCarthy, I don't really like him. He wasn't even one of my top choices when the Giants had the cycle. When he was in the cycle, he wasn't even one of my top choices.
Yeah, but their defensive coordinator was really good. And Micah Parsons, I mean, defensively, I think they're going to be pretty strong again. Dallas is going to be there, no doubt about it.
I'll say this. Their defensive coordinator is taking over for McCarthy. It's just a matter of time.
We'll see how this year goes with McCarthy. I think it's going to be a two-team race with those two. I think Giants are going to be improved. And again, the Redskins, let's see what happens with Carson Wentz there.
I think if you're a Giants fan, I'll have you on to preview the NFL like I always do. Just thinking about it on paper, because I don't pay attention to the Giants during the offseason. I'm not one of those fans that likes to speculate. I'll pay attention once preseason starts and I can see them on the field. If Daniel Jones plays motivated, I think the Giants could battle for the last playoff spot, because their offense, in my opinion, got better.
Well, yeah, they addressed some of the offense. They brought in a bunch of veteran offensive linemen that are not like all stars, but they are veterans. I mean, they've been in the league, so I think they'll be better there. And Daniel Jones should be motivated because
he has a fifth year to fall back on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contract year for him. He's got to play well. He's playing for his future, whether it be with the Giants or somebody else.
Exactly. And best case scenario for the Giants is they're battling for that last wild card spot. Unless the Eagles, like, collapse.
Yeah, I don't see the Giants be able to win the division just because, you know, they got to play the Cowboys twice, and I don't think they can beat them twice. Playing the Eagles twice, I don't think they can beat the Eagles twice. So I think they're going to have a rough time within their division, which is going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm. They could beat Washington twice, whatever their new name is.
They could. The Commanders, I know. I can't get used to that.
I just wish they would have kept it Washington, but that's just me. I kind of liked Washington anyway. But anyway, they could beat Washington twice. They could beat the Giants. They could beat the Eagles at home. They can't beat the Eagles on the road. There's some voodoo curse on when they go there. They're not beating the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. As much as I would love that, they're not beating Dallas on Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah, that's why I think they're going to struggle to win the division.
Yeah, and I could see the Giants only winning two divisional games this year, and they're both against Washington.
Yeah, if they do that, I don't know if they can compete for the wild card, because they'll be 2-4 in the division, which means they'll lose the tiebreaker if the Eagles or Dallas are another wild card team. That's going to be tough for them to bounce back from.
I could see them beating Dallas at home. I just don't know about Philly, because Philly has that confidence against the Giants, whether it's their worst team they've ever put out or their best team, where they know they can beat the Giants. Like, granted, I think we played the Eagles week 18. That's hard to say now because it used to be 17.
Yeah.
The last game of the year. So it really just depends on where everything lines up.
Yeah, I mean, that game could be – who knows where the teams are at that point. I mean, if – I don't think it will be. If the Eagles have something locked up, they won't be playing it, everybody. If they're both out of it, who knows what's going to happen. With health, you just never know in the NFL. You know, you're a key injury or two away from your season being shot.
Yeah, and another guy in the Giants I think is going to have a good year. I think Barkley's – I don't think he'll be a Giant after this year, but he's gonna have a good year, at least a good first half.
He's playing for his future too.
Yep.
So those contract year things, you know, it's amazing how well they can play in those contract years. They're playing for their for that paycheck then after that.
I just want to see the Giants have to be over 500 once this year. That's all I'm looking forward to.
I'm saying they will fall short.
They will.
I think you're gonna see an improvement, but I don't think they're gonna go above 500.
They're not winning week one against Tennessee. They're not. I don't know who the Eagles play week one, but they're. I know the Giants are in Tennessee because they have like a 4 o'clock game. They're not beating Tennessee week one.
I forget who the Eagles. I know Eagles are on the road week one.
I think Dallas is the only home team week one.
Eagles. See, the Eagles, they can start the year. They need to start the year hot because they start off in Detroit. So they should beat Detroit. Then they come home and play the Vikings on a primetime game. Home opener with A.J. Brown. Figured you got to win that one. Then they go to Washington. And they got the Jaguars. So Eagle, I don't think – because every time you think they're going to start like 4-0, they don't. They're going to lose one in there. But –
I'll probably lose the game against Washington.
Start at least 3-1.
Yeah, I agree. Now, do they go to Jacksonville or is Jacksonville?
Jacksonville comes up here.
Oh, if you don't beat Jacksonville at home.
And then things get tougher. We go to Arizona. We play the Cowboys, the Steelers. So then they have then eventually we have to go to Indianapolis and we have to play Green Bay. So we have a tougher road, but that's why we got to start at least 3-1.
I agree with you. And so then we have to go to the Green Bay this year. Yeah, we're not beating the Packers.
We'll see what Green Bay is. I mean, Green Bay, you lose Davante Adams. You know, they lost some key offensive players. So Green Bay might not be the same Green Bay.
Now, the Giants, I didn't realize this, they play the Texans, the Jaguars, Seattle, and Detroit comes to us too. Those are winnable games. Like, they have a very easy schedule. Washington, that's like five games right there the Giants should win.
Listen, I think you're going to be hovering around that 500 mark. A game here or there will be, you know, you go 7-10, or are you 10-7? That's kind of like where you're at.
For me, it all comes down to Jones. It just circles back to health and if he's going to be an interception, turnover, fumble machine, or if he's going to be the Daniel Jones that we saw in Kansas City, where they almost won, the defense blew it late. Dallas, that one time when the defense blew it again. Philadelphia, where Evan Engram dropped the football. I mean, there are so many games that he should have won that he didn't because the defense or the catch. Well,
hopefully he doesn't get hurt so you don't have to see your backups come in and throw those two-yard passes all game. Because that was like the worst offense I've ever seen in my life.
And Jason Garrett wasn't there. Jason Garrett was not there. Jason Garrett, I think, now is like on TV though, right? Like he's doing the college pregame stuff now. That'll be fun.
He's not with the Giants anymore?
No, him and Daniel Jones were doing a charity event one day, and it was really bad. It brought back some bad memories watching him get coached up by Garrett.
Garrett, Mr. 500. That's what he was. 500 coach at Dallas every year. 8-8.
I had hope because at week one to week four, the first year, the Giants were actually taking chances, and then afterwards it was just like two-yard passes.
It was boring.
It was embarrassing. It wasn't boring.
Of course, the other team's defense and tackle wise lying on the ground. Those are good ones. Those are good plays too.
Those are ones I can't blame Garrett for. That's the Daniel Jones I'm talking about.
He can look so good one day and then all of a sudden makes a play and you're like, what was that?
Imagine rooting and having to root for the guy. Like I talk about it with the John Boy Media Podcast, Talking Giants. Imagine rooting for the kid sometimes. It's just like, we thought Eli made some bad passes. Daniel Jones just says, hold my beer. That's what he does.
I actually watched this show, part of a show, the one night I was in bed and I'm like, nothing's on. And it was a show called like The Catch. And they were doing Eli Manning to what's his face?
Manningham?
No.
David Tyree.
Yeah, and they were saying how David Tyree all year really wasn't any part of any offense. And in practice, he was awful, dropping everything. And then because of an injury, he got to play more in the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, he made the plays.
He made a touchdown grab, and he made the helmet catch.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was a great day. And that was a great day.
Yeah, you haven't had really any since then, have you, though?
We had 2011.
11 years.
In 2016, we had 16. We made the playoffs. Eli had Odell Beckham, a young Odell Beckham, before he got paid.
Maybe you can sign Odell Beckham again.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I know all the Giant fans want him back. I'm good.
I wouldn't take him.
I wish him nothing but success because he's going to stay on the West Coast. He's not coming back to our division. So go ahead, but he's a headache. As much as Sean McVay says he's not a headache, he was a headache.
Yeah. Could be a headache on that. It's hard to be a headache on the Rams team when you have players like Aaron Donald around that, you know, are good leaders and stuff. And I think we'll take care of that situation.
So let's shift over. Kyrie Irving and the Nets, to end the show, have reached an impasse. And today it came out, I don't know if you saw this, that Kyrie Irving wants to come to the 76ers.
I didn't hear that. The Sixers are a train wreck, so.
It came out, it was reported by some credible guys, because tonight's the draft, of course, for the NBA. I'm not going to watch it because the Knicks have the 11th pick, and I know they're not getting anybody worth it. But Kyrie's coming to town. He wants to either come to the Knicks or the 76ers.
All I've heard with it, like, I know the draft tonight. I just saw a tiny bits and pieces of stuff here. The Sixers have one pick because they've been trading all their picks away. I think they picked like number 23. And the rumor is the Sixers are not going to use that pick. They're trying to get rid of that pick, and they're trying to get rid of Thibault to free up money. Because they want to sign somebody, and it wasn't Kyrie that they were talking about. So I don't know who, but yeah, I don't think the Sixers are drafting anybody, and I don't think they're going to get Kyrie either.
You don't want Kyrie. Kyrie's a nightmare.
We have so many nightmares. I mean, we have James Harden for the next 3 years, so he's old and slow now.
That was a really good trade for the Nets. I will stand by that at the time. Now, I thought that was a really good trade for the Nets.
It was kind of, I don't know, I think it was almost a loss for both teams. We both wanted to get rid of these guys. We just took each other's problem. The difference is our guy actually played.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben Simmons didn't play. I'll take Harden. At least he goes on the court. And we'll take a shot. Ben Simmons won't take a shot.
Well, Philly broke him. I'll stand by that. Philly broke him.
He was broken before he got to us.
I stand by. He missed that shot in whatever finals that was last year. And ever since, he will never take another – he will never be on the court again.
He missed the shot. He freaking passed up a dunk and passed it off. He's such a chicken heart. But, I don't know what – The Sixers, I mean, Embiid, you're wasting the prime of his career. And then he gets hurt. Of course, Sixers are looking half decent in the playoffs, and he tears a ligament in his finger and breaks an orbital bone in his eye. I mean, just can't catch a break.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine being a Knicks fan 20 years.
Yeah, I follow basketball, but I've been so disheartened by the Sixers that I really don't follow it that close.
Well, the Rangers, for any New York fan, they should have went to the finals. They should have won that. They should have won game three. They blew it, and then they were done the rest of the season.
I didn't even know there was a hockey season because my team was so bad. Well, but Cubby hired a coach in Philly, Tortorella, who is hilarious. Tells it like it is. We might take some. You have to be patient with him. He's gonna weed out the wheat. That's what he's gonna do. He's gonna get rid of those guys.
I don't know. I mean, after baseball and football, it's pretty much a downward spiral for New York sports.
Well, it's usually a downward spiral in all your sports. But now you at least have the Mets.
The Yankees too. They're the two best teams in the MLB are in New York.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Yankees, that's a given every year.
I mean, the Jets have potential. They have Zach Wilson. I think he has potential.
As long as they're patient there and don't panic. I mean, the Jets have to have some – they have some talent on their team. You know, they can build with that. You know, they drafted some offensive linemen and stuff, and they have some skilled players. I mean, they have some potential there. It's just that they're in a division with the Bills and the Patriots and the Dolphins. I mean, their division is pretty tough.
It's like the NFC East is pretty easy if you really want to think about it. And then you go to the AFC East, and it's just a completely different animal.
And the NFC East is, I think,
it's getting better.
So long. I think they're starting to get a little better. I mean, Dallas is still going to be good. The Eagles are going to be looking better. The Giants are going to improve. So I think the NFC East, they're not going to be the laughing stock like they were.
I just can't believe that till the day it happens.
We'll see.
These teams trip over themselves so easily. Because Dallas has talent every year. And they can't get out of the first round.
Which I love.
Oh, well, if you're, I love it too, but it's sad because Jerry Jones, he puts the money in.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's given out some ridiculous contracts and it just hasn't paid off.
Well, they signed that running back, Zeke. I think Coach Weber texted us that day that he didn't want that to happen. And when he did, he was upset about it. And I didn't blame him because
Zeke Elliott signed a ridiculous contract.
Which is terrible.
They signed some other ones, their defensive end, DeMarcus Lawrence, who's good, but nothing great. He was getting $20 million a year. He's not worth it. You give Prescott $40 million a year.
I want to re-sign Prescott. I don't see it. I don't see it in the big games. He doesn't play well in the big game.
No, and just wait till Micah Parsons, he's only in his second year, so he's got time. But wait till his contract comes up. See what he's going to want.
There's a salary cap in the NFL, an actual salary cap, not like in the MLB.
Yeah. Now, they work their ways around it. They put in between signing bonuses and all this and that, they push money ahead. I mean, Eagles still have guys from years ago. They're still that's on their salary cap. They don't even play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they just, because every year the salary cap increases. So they kind of work with that, knowing that. That's why the Eagles now can make a little bit of a splash, because you have a quarterback in a rookie contract. So their quarterback is cheap. But it won't be cheap if he goes out and has a good year, because then he's going to want to start negotiating.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your guys are on one-year deals. Like Bradbury's on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you guys are trapped. The Giants are trapped for another year.
Yeah, the Eagles have some guys that they'll be able to unload some of these contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So if Hurts is the guy, they can use these all these draft picks they got to draft some young guys that are cheaper that'll fill those holes.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing that with their defensive line. I mean, Fletcher Cox is making a fortune, but he's going to be gone after this year. And they drafted a defensive tackle this year to take his place. So they're set with that stuff.
Yeah. So to end the show, you did come to the Reading Philly Stadium. I don't know if it was your first time.
Time in a long time. I was growing up, when I used to play in youth league baseball, they would take us there to see games. But that was a long time. I remember a guy named Julio Franco.
Yeah, he played for the Mets like in his 50s. I think he retired at the age of 49.
I saw him when he was in Reading, and I'll never forget when they walked out of their locker room. I was waiting there trying to get autographs, and he pushed me aside. He told me he didn't have time. I'll never forget that. I never liked him ever again. He wouldn't sign. He wouldn't sign an autograph.
Mm-hmm. Well, the players just don't like that.
No, but he's the stadium. It's a nice. It has that old iconic feel to it, and it's a neat place. It's a neat place to go for a night, and I love the underground, like the concourse area and stuff. It's neat to walk around there.
Yeah, it's really not that big.
No, I mean it's a double-A park, but it just has a neat feel to it.
How was the fireworks? Because I didn't really get to watch them because I was cleaning up the field.
They were good. I was surprised they were even going to have them because it was so windy that day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, getting ready to go to the game. We're like, oh my God, we're going to have to wear a sweatshirt in June to a baseball game. But no, it was nice. I mean, it's
nice. It's a
minor league field. You know, in between innings, they have little events. The hot dog guy that comes out throwing the hot dogs, and it's neat.
Yeah, there was no way they weren't going to have fireworks. Penn State paid for them. No way. That would have been crazy. So, all right, folks, I'm going to wrap this up because I have to edit it. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. We want to thank you for coming on with such late notice. Subscribe to all my platforms and stay safe and have a good one.